Good afternoon. Sorry, we got a little technical difficulty here starting the show. We're trying to mimic the Bears. That's what we're doing here.
You're doing a great job. Packerjack job of the bumbling and stumbling and fumbling we saw.
There's 1:33 to go here. Bad. Never say die. They're only down 31-3.
Well, but they just threw a pick.
It's over now?
Yes.
It's over now?
Okay, and you know what, folks? Every week we ask you to call in and we ask you to tune in. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, this was hard to watch. It was all we could do to stay in the conference room. The three things about this is, you know, on one hand, you know, all this psyche of, oh, we're getting better and we're making progress and we're close and we're doing this. Fox, it has to go. And if you really need any more indication of the contrast between a well-coached organization and a bunch of fumble bums, all you had to do is watch today. Every time I saw a shot on the sideline, you know, the Philadelphia Eagle head coach, Doug Peterson, he had a play chart in his hand. He was going over the plays with his quarterback, contemplating the next series and how to go about taking us apart. And what was Fox doing? Fumbling with his headphone once again. I've had enough.
It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. It's presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's 3-1.
You can't help laugh. That's right. I mean, it's like he's listening to the head. Here's the problem, too. And Ed, I know we're waiting because you're going to explode. But here's what it is. Today, you know, nobody thought the Bears were going to go into Philly and beat them. But
nobody thought they were going to show up.
Well, yeah. Well, that was the amazing part. We did show up. But we were looking, if you're a fan or if you're just trying to watch to see if there is progress, like they try to sell everybody on.
Right.
You want to see adjustments by coaches during the game. You want to see players play smarter, not make mistakes, not get penalties. You want to see a defense that's still flying around, and there are adjustments against the best scoring offense right now in the last couple weeks. None of those things happened, and that's what's frustrating, and that's what Dan's talking about. This is a poorly coached team, and their players are getting worse, not better.
How about a first down in the first half?
No, zero.
Zero.
How's that?
It was 16 to nothing. And, hey, folks, you know, really, this is embarrassing. And we all hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, it looks like the Bears had too good a time because nobody showed up wanting to play the game of football. And ultimately, week after week, we try to establish the game rules of where are we going, and is this the group to get us where we want to go? And we have been saying in an adamant fashion since last year, get this fool Fox out of here, and hopefully today, zero first down, 0 points, zero threat, zero anything productive has to be Exhibit A in the getting rid of this bum.
Did that ever happen for either of you?
No.
Have any of you? No.
I don't even understand that.
Back in the day in the 60s, where our offense sometimes had a little difficulty putting points on the board.
But not one first down in a first half? Did you ever do that?
I'm going to tell you something. I'm sure it's happened somewhere in the National Football League, okay? I couldn't tell you what decade or who the team was. But in the 11th game, to not even get one first down, that defies the word impossible. Now, let's just look at this for a second. Folks, there are so many things. Positive I could say, they're called the Chicago Bears. That's it. Listen, second quarter, we're on, I think, somewhere's around on the 40-yard line, somewhere around there. It's third down and 18. We have the ball. It's third down and 18. This is when you get anywhere on your opponent's inside their 50, the 48, 45, 42, you go for the ball. You go for the end zone, okay? So it's third and 18, and what do they call for? A 14-yard pass in route, okay? Missed the field goal. Third quarter with about 8:45 to go. It's third and 20, and we throw, I think, an up and out, Glenn. An up and out
like
for 15 yards, and we're on the 44-yard line. They're 44, and we throw a 5-yard short pass of a first down. We don't even try to score, and we won 3 games out of 11. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Folks, I'm telling you, what's going on here, and I've been involved with this team like forever, watching them, played for them, however you want to call it. This is beyond believable. Coaching staff, they're clueless. We got defensive back coach. Do you ever watch our defensive backs coach tackle today, folks? Did you watch them last week? The week before? They don't tackle. They throw rolling blocks. Last time I checked, football players have two arms, two legs, two feet, and half a brain, I believe. And they come, what do, Glenn? They come and they throw a rolling block. You got receivers. We can't, folks, this is so frustrating. I'm beyond aggravated. There's so many things wrong that they did today for four quarters. And where the Chicago Bears, the footing and the foundation of the National Football League, and we go out there and we're the ship of fools. We're a bunch of clowns. And it's enough already. And by the way, forget about Fox. That guy Pace, that general manager, he better be on that same boat out of town, that knucklehead.
And what people understand, too, on the rolling block, it's where you come up and you dive and you throw your shoulder down into the ground. And it just, you know, because some people say, well, what's a rolling block? Well, that's what it is. Now, that's a great block for a lineman or an offensive player.
Yeah,
but for a defensive guy, it's the worst thing in the world to do because you can't see. You're lowering your head and you're throwing, turning your shoulder, and you're putting your arms down by your side, basically. So what Ed's pointing out is you can't tackle that way. You have zero chance to tackle.
And not only that, you have the chance for friendly fire, putting your own players
right
in the hospital like that was done last week by Kyle Fuller when he took out Leonard Floyd. And, you know, trust me, folks, hey, you know, the defense, okay, they gave up 31. We're not going to throw them under the bus just so quickly because they were out there with an offense complete without a threat. And so all day long they were, you know, trying to grab grass and try to find a way to stay on the field. All I can tell you is this. It is high time that this team has to signal a decision has been made on the fate and future of the fool, John Fox, because now I'm seeing players starting to dog it and take shortcuts. And guess what? Our little hotshot quarterback, he's going the other way. He is nowhere near as accurate and decisive as he was a month ago. And that is the tell of the tape. When your quarterback starts going the other way, man, you better start thinking how to change it.
Happen will be sponsored by Parent Petroleum as we get going here. 312-981-7200. The Bears, by the way, rushed today for 6 yards. They threw for 134. That's a total of 140. And yards per play, OB, you love that stat, 2.9. None of that is surprising when you score 3 points.
They passed for 27 yards the first half, ran for 6, passed for 27 yards. Let's real quickly talk about Trubisky. I couldn't believe that they gave up an entire draft and moved up a notch to get him from 3rd to 2nd, okay? When he was not rated the number one quarterback, Mahomes from Texas Tech was. Now, this kid, and if you people that really watch the game, watch Trubisky when he throws the ball. Where is he throwing it? Does he hit him on the are receivers on the numbers in stride? Where is it thrown? Watch. Over their heads and behind them.
High
every
and behind.
Time, Glenn,
high and
please
behind.
Jump in
yep.
on this.
No,
every
you're
time,
right.
high and behind them. That's not how you throw the football in the 11th game of your National Football League career. So you got to look at his coaches. Folks, this game today.
I'm telling you, it's the meltdown. It is.
I'm so damn frustrated. I can't even find words. How pathetic can they be? How pathetic, coach, can they be and have these kids? They don't know how to tackle. They don't know how to catch a ball. And by the way, Trubisky, when he started playing in the last exhibition game, in a couple games, and everybody's thinking, oh, my God, look what we got here. Look at his escapability. Look at him run. He can throw on the run. He can do this. He can do that. Well, I'll tell you what. When the gun went off to start the season, take a look at him when he started. I think it was either a 4th or the 5th game into now. And you tell me that's somebody you're going to give up an entire draft for and move up a notch. You tell me, folks.
I mean, I've been saying it for a while. You watch what Deshaun Watson was doing down in Houston, and I know he's got a lot more weapons, but you compare that guy to Mitchell Trubisky, and you line them both up. One dude has been a four-year starter, winning national championships, and you're going to draft the guy who sat for a couple of years, played, had 13 starts because you're the smartest guy in the room. That is a big-time leap.
Hey, it's the same guy that drafted Kevin White who has
exactly
has poured nothing out. And at the end of the day, again, what you thought you had, it's going the other way because his confidence is shattered. He's indecisive. He's questioning his reads, and now he's making bad throws. This is not going anywhere where you want it to go.
Everything that he is supposed to have, he has gone. It's gone south. His running ability, his natural instincts, his ability to throw accurately on the run, fine. Playing in college, fine. Playing against a bunch of kids that are not even in this league today. And then when that gun goes off again on the first game and when he finally came in, all that time. Listen, we drafted this kid back in the spring. Like all of a sudden he got here 3 weeks ago. He should know what's going on. He should know, the offensive coordinator. When this kid comes in, this is our game plan.
And Dan, you pointed something out today and you bring it up about Cohen. And this is the tall tale that, you know, this is a final exhibit, right? I mean,
well,
this is as goofy as it gets.
This is a dagger in the heart of any coaching staff that here we are days away from the month of December. We are essentially played 11 games in the NFL, and one of your players had the honesty, and Tariq Cohen was asked, why weren't you in on the two-minute drill last week when we're trying to come back and tie Detroit or win? Remember, we, you know, Barth missed the field goal. But Tariq Cohen, our so-called home run hitter, isn't even on the field. And he basically admitted he doesn't know the two-minute offense.
Two-minute drill.
The two-minute offense.
Yeah, well, offense drill.
Which is,
thing,
right? We have to move and score. Why wouldn't you? That would be the first thing I would teach my most dangerous weapon. Do you not think? But unfortunately, in the back-assward world of John Fox, he doesn't even know it, and it's Thanksgiving. That, if nothing else, George McKeskey, look at the facts. The kid said it. I didn't say it. That is a coaching staff that is so completely ill-prepared to be a professional staff. You tell me they deserve another week on the job.
Just looking at that situation, Daniel, and you couldn't, oh my God, couldn't be more right. How the hell is it that you have a running backs coach, an offensive coordinator, and before you go to your first game, that two-minute drill, that goal line offense, you've got it. Everybody's got it down. Right. You know what you're going to do. To come into, when Dan said the 11th game, folks, I can't. You just got to understand what Dan Hampton just said again. I am telling you, that is cause I'd fire every one of these coaches, right?
But that's the truth. You're right, Ed.
How the hell can you have a football player on your team, an offensive back, and you mean to tell me 11th game, he doesn't know what to do in a two-minute drill? There are no words for this.
It's incomprehensible.
Ignorance.
312-981-7200. We got to take a quick timeout, but your phone calls are welcome here. And remember to play ball and celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Eagles all over the Bears, 31-3, as the Bears fall to a robust 3-8 on
hey,
the year.
Hold 1 second.
Yes.
By the way, yeah, George McKeskey, when you get rid of Fox, make sure there's room on that bus for Pace. Do not forget him. If he's a general manager, I'm a skydiver.
You're not a skydiver.
Geronimo!
720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN and CLTV until 4 o'clock, 312-981-7200. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great one with your friends and family. Bears lose to the Eagles 31-3. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I mean, Hamp, you're talking about the two-minute drill. I mean, John Fox said it himself. The two-minute offense is John Fox. Not everybody on the team knows all that, John Fox. We have Adam Sheehan. We have Mitchell Trubisky. We have Tariq Cohen. They're playing in their eighth games of their NFL careers as rookie. They have a lot – rookies. They have a lot on their plates as it is. They can't do everything. They're definitely good young players. We utilize all of them a lot. He said it himself. He hasn't taught it to
him. He indicted himself.
And the quarterback he mentioned, too, in that, right?
He did.
Okay, why would you even have a quarterback on the field that is incapable or you think incompetent in the two-minute drill? Why? How did – see, again, in the Fox, you know, fool world, this is like, oh, well, hey, you think, you know, everybody knows what they're doing? I mean, hey, no. This is the very essence of incompetence. And he's even, as you said, he indicts himself. And even Cohen comes out, I think, in Friday's paper, agreeing and admitting it, saying, oh, yeah, we don't know the two-minute drill.
Let me tell you something.
It's a head shaker.
Folks, the people that are out in the real world, okay, you have – the CEO or the general manager, and if it's Tyler CEO, is over everybody, and he comes up with two blunders. One, signing a quarterback in free agency, signing a 43-point-some-odd million, $18.5 million guaranteed this year, and then you give away an entire draft to move up from the third spot to the second spot to go for a quarterback who was not rated number one by everybody, and who nobody had him on the second round of their drafting of the other 31 teams. And this guy moves up to get him and gives him $25 million. And you mean to tell me in the real world, you're going to have a guy like that running the store, running the ship, or whatever you want to call it? This guy, he's got to go. Pace has got to go. I don't give a damn about anything else. And Fox has got to go with him or vice versa. They got to get out of here. This is not the Chicago Bears that I've grown up, known, loved, and played for. This is a bunch of stumble bums that are out there coaching, and what do you see? Those kids need direction. Just look at what we do offensively. You mean to tell me they don't know a two-minute drill in the 11th game of the National Football League?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, too. Those are the most basic, solid, easiest plays to remember, right?
Should be, yes. It should be a no-brainer, and, you know, the point in, or another fact today, Clements was a free agent a year ago in Philadelphia. He's in a three-man rotation at running back, and he's in most of the time in third down. So how couldn't this kid figure it out? And our guys can't.
At the end of the first half, he was in the two-minute drill for the Philadelphia Eagles when there's two other veteran backs ahead of him, Blunt and Ajayi. And yet he's the guy they've got in there because they feel like he's better and more suited and competent to run in the two-minute offense. Now, tell me what the difference in what happened today with the coaches is. Come on. You know, Philly knows what the hell's going on. We have no clue. And yet, they're going to fly back. They're going to go home. They're going to eat their leftover turkey and open the mailbox on Tuesday and get their check. This has got to stop.
The Mueller game-changing moment is sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. OB?
I've got the game-changing moment.
Let's
when
hear
the
it.
Plane landed in Philadelphia yesterday.
Amen.
Wheels
down.
And
they got off the plane. Instead of landing, turn it around and take off and come back.
Should have just...
It'd have been a better showing.
That'd have been amazing.
It was a great Snicker bar commercial, right? Or Southwest commercial you wanted to get out of town quick?
The three of us in the boardroom here today watching this, I mean, folks, it was one play after another on both sides of the ball. What the hell are they doing? What kind of game plan? What was their purpose? How are they going to score? When you have third down and 20, third down and 18, and you're throwing three down, you're throwing a 14-yard pass. You're throwing a 15-yard pass on third and 20 when you're on their side of the field. Why didn't you go try to score a damn touchdown? You're getting killed by the points in the game. You won three games. My God, this is the most incompetent coaching staff I have ever seen with the Chicago Bears. And I've been born and raised here, went to Proviso High School, University of Illinois. And I'm going to tell you what, I was so aggravated today, I didn't know which way to turn. How? of the massive ignorance by our offense and defensive coaches.
How many submarine sandwiches you have from Mr. Submarine? Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine. It's a good thing to, you know, eat the emotions, OB. MrSubmarine.com. Dive into deliciousness. You get any turkey in there?
No, there was no turkey. Oh, okay. I'd give him turkey.
we watched turkey today.
All right, we'll take a ton of calls here coming up after the 3:30 news. Quick timeout. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200. Adam Hoge is in Philly. We'll hear from him at 4:35. 720 WGN and CLTV till 4.
Trubisky to throw it. He'll let it go high, and it's intercepted. It's picked off by Philadelphia Malcolm Jenkins, who fumbles it. Chicago may have gotten it back. And they do. What a bizarre turn of events. Jenkins the interception, then it got stripped, and the Bears end up with better field position after it's all said and done.
720 WGN, CLTV till 4. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. The Bears rushed for 6 yards today. That is the second worst in the history of the franchise.
Is it?
Second worst. They rushed for 1 yard. I just shorted you a decade, OB. I wanted to know if you remember this one. Against the, I believe they were the Los Angeles Rams at that point, October 26th, 1952.
Yeah, they'd been the Rams.
That would have been Los Angeles.
Right. So yes. You got to go back to 52. That's only the second time since 1939 that the Bears failed to rush for 10 yards.
And Fox the Fool says we get off the bus, we're going to run it, and we're one of the best. Yeah, and we get 6 yards. Historically bad. The worst it's been in 60 years. What else is new?
You know what?
And he's going to tell you, oh, yeah, well, we were in it.
You know why there's so much frustration here, folks? This room is filled with Mark, Glenn, Dan, myself. These stats and the way they played in these stats are mind-boggling. They got total we have total net yards of 140. That should be not, because at the end of the game, when they put all the backups in and they played the prevent defense,
right,
you probably got to take about 50 yards off of that or 60 yards off of the passing. And they have an average gain per offensive play is 2.9. That's beyond anemic, folks. That is beyond anemic. And when you look at these numbers, and this is the 11th game of a season, it is I've never seen numbers like this. I couldn't tell you when, and I've been doing this for a long time. I have never seen numbers like this. I don't think in my life with the Bears and Danny. I don't think I've ever seen more pathetic numbers. That you 6 yards rushing in the National Football League, and we got Howard, one of the better running backs.
It's page after page of text and the textbook incompetence of John Fox.
Folks, this is why we're telling you. I know what I want to say, and I can't even get it out. I'm so aggravated.
Who brought it today is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring, Hamp.
Well, it has to be Craven LeBlanc. I mean, everybody can't play dead, right? Well, he was decent. He had a couple of pass breakups. He had a forced fumble. He actually led the team in tackles. But this is this is where you know you were in for an ass whipping, is when your top four tacklers are your top four secondary members. Our starting secondary led the team in tackles. That meant nobody was doing anything at the line of scrimmage.
Let's get some calls in here. Yeah, go ahead, OB.
I was just ready to say, they passed for 248 yards, and they ran on us, folks, for 176 yards, and we ran for 6.
I'll tell you that Carson Wentz, second overall pick last year, you think Mitchell Trubisky is going to look like that next year? He was great.
Well, he's got weapons and a coaching staff around him, Bobby.
Yeah, okay. I understand that, Daniel. But what you got to do, you got to deal with what's happening now.
The reality.
This is what is happening now. This is what you got to look at. This is what they're coaching. This is what we see. This is what we analyze. Okay? Trubisky, to do what we did to get him, that's a no-no. That's an absolute no-no. Let's go to the callers.
All right, Calvin in Hyde Park. He always brings it, so it's good to have you up here, Calvin. Welcome to...
Yes, how's it going today?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Look, I just want to say this. Roses are red, violets are pink. Flowers smell good, but this team really stinks. It's a shame the way they play. No blocking, no tackling. I'm going to say this. We got 5 games left. Our chance of winning another game is like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. Thanks for taking my call.
Wait, hold on, Calvin. I want that poem one more time. Can you do it again?
Roses are red, violets are pink. Flowers smell good, but the Chicago Bears stink.
Thank you, Calvin.
Amen. And it's sad, but now we're laughing. You know, I was never on a team that was a laughing stock. This team, it's a laughing stock.
312-981-7200. Matt in Wrigleyville, welcome to 720 WGN. Hampton, I'll be with Kaz. Go ahead.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Ed Obradovich, I'm not the only one who's worried about you. I turn on this station every single week for this show, and I am terrified that one of you guys, except for Carm, because Carm never gets upset, but one of you three gentlemen is going to stroke out on air. I honestly...
Well, hey, man, I hope you're wrong on that one.
Yeah, we're betting against you, okay? How's that?
I appreciate that, and I hope I'm wrong. But it's the happiest I've heard you guys in months, and you guys aren't even happy.
Well, Matt, it's really difficult. You said you watched that game. You saw it for 4 quarters. Watch our game plan compared to their game plan. I mean, come on. I mean, we got the same kind of football players, if they're guards on either side, offensive guards, tackles, whatever. And just look at what coaching means, Matt. Just look at what coaching means in the National Football League, or for that matter, anywhere.
Anywhere. I will say this. Has anybody ever read the story of Old Yeller?
Old Yeller?
We're going Old Yeller, Matt?
We're going Old Yeller, yes.
We're going Old Yeller? Not with the team. The team is Shiloh. The team can be saved, but somebody's got to take John Fox out back.
Okay.
I mean, this is garbage. Anyway, you guys have a great day, and Carm, keep on being calm.
Thank you, pal. Appreciate you, Matt. 312-981-7200. I can't ramp up to the level of the three here. I got to. It's my role.
Let me tell you something. I don't think either one of the three of us want to do that. But my God, when you sit there and you see what's going on in the full 60 minutes of the game, and you know what the hell is right, you know what's wrong, you know what's right and true about this game. I mean, come on. I can't sit here and say, oh, I think that guy playing defensive end should not try to go inside, and I think he should go outside. What I think you should do is kick him in his backside and give him a ticket out of town.
That voice, have you ever heard that one before here, Hamp?
I never heard it myself.
Listen, here's the best way to describe it. Barth got run out of town, right, last week when he hit the worst kick. Because I agree that any four of anyone in this room right now could have kicked it just as bad as he did. Isn't this the same thing with the coaching staff? Was that not Barth-like today, their entire game plan, everything else? And if you run your kicker out, then you should, like Dan has been saying all year, you run out your entire coaching staff
today,
right now.
Today was the worst day of coaching I have ever seen at any level. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The worst coaching I've ever seen at this particular time in the National Football League season. This, what went on here today. Well, I tell you what, folks, and then for Fox to say, Dan, what you brought up, Dan brought up the facts that Fox says, well, he doesn't know the 2-minute drill. The 11th game of the National Football League? Are you out of your mind? You just indicted yourself, you fool.
That's why he's the fumbling fool, and we're packing up his bags.
And on the positive side, for the Fox must go, this was a great day for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but you're in a laughing stock, Mark. There's nothing great about watching the Bears go out there and embarrass themselves and look like they didn't know how to play football.
It was a textbook indictment. Marcus Cooper Sr. was holding. The punter shanked a punt. Adrian Amos was turned around on a TD pass.
How many false starts?
Inman muffs the ball, you know, instead of catching it, it allows the interception. McBride blocks in the back. Wright blocks in the back. I mean, we missed a field goal. Everything, it was a Keystone Cops, you know, on tour in the city of brotherly love. It was embarrassing.
Folks, real quickly here. They had since last spring, right after the draft, up until now, do you understand this, folks? To set the defenses in, to set the offenses in, to set with the players, who you're going to have. And look at us. I said it, we're the ship of fools. It's embarrassing to see this. And I know a lot of kids are playing their hearts out, and guess what? They're going nowhere because you don't have the competence of those position coaches and those let's go back. Those position coaches, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Why am I saying that? All you got to do is go look out on the field, see how they tackle, see how they catch the ball, see how they block. That tells you everything.
And watch your quarterback's feet. I mean, again, as a fan, just watch the way he's thrown the ball the last couple of weeks. He's short striding. He's quick. His feet aren't set. He's not stepping towards his target. He's throwing off his back foot on the last play of the game.
That's absolutely correct.
That fourth down, he's backpedaling, throwing it off his back foot. Every fundamental that you teach, he has forgotten.
What Glenn
since
just said,
week 11.
And this is you can go talk to any coach out there in this National Football League. When we started that first game of the 16, everything should have been in. Our goal line offense, our goal line defense, every facet of that game should have been in. Who's the personnel and what are the plays we're going to run, what are the defenses. Every damn – you hear me?
Absolutely. They have all those practices in the pads and the shorts at Hallis Hall and all these meetings, all this nonsense. They act like they drive up with a bus, and the first day of camp, everybody gets off and says, okay, you're going to be a corner. You're a safety. Hey, fat boy, come over here. You're on the offensive line.
Not sure where
nobody knows what's going on, and now 4 months later, they haven't had a chance to teach. Sickening.
Hey, you might be center, you might be guard, but we're going to play you at guard all preseason. And then we're moving to center, Ed.
I'm going
to
tell you what, I can't. I wonder if the – I don't even know what the hell. Know,
the worst part is I've been called fat boy, and I was a wide receiver. Hey, fat – oh, you're a wideout, really?
These guys refer to their players as, hey, you. They don't even know who the hell they are.
We'll hear from
– this is crazy, guys.
This might be a – we got to get Fox in today. I want to hear from him. And Trubisky and Adam Hoge will be from Philly. Ton of calls coming up, too. And I got a question on just the opening kickoff for you guys coming back here. I'm curious what you thought. 720 WGN. Here we go with 31-3 Bears loss. I wanted to ask you guys about the kickoff. The Bears win the toss today. You're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. They've lost one game all year. Arguably the best team in the NFL. You want to say New England, that's fine. You want to say the Saints, that's fine too. You have a chance to start with the football. Why would you take the ball?
Hey, how many people are on the planet? 8 billion? The guy on the other sideline is the hottest quarterback on the planet Earth. 8 billion? This is the guy you don't want to tangle with. The last thing you want to do is give him the ball. You win the toss. You want to score. Put him in a bind. Put him in a hole. But what do? We defer the kickoff to him, and they go right down the field. And you know what? Here's something else for you. Philadelphia Eagles are the number one offense in the first quarter in the NFL. So anything else you want to know before we put the straitjacket on that idiot Fox?
71-18, the Eagles have outscored teams in the first quarter this year.
And he did it with Drew Brees, too. They deferred in that game, and New Orleans went right down the field. We were down 7-0. Aaron Rodgers, 7-0. I mean, he has done this all year long.
I think Dan's been entirely too critical.
It's true.
Don't you?
Yeah,
entirely
true.
Too critical.
You are, Mr.
Let's go to the caller.
All right, let's get Mike in Rockford here. Mike, appreciate your patience. Welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead, man.
Guys, I have all the respect in the world for you. You guys all played the game, you know, the organization better than anybody. But tell me something. Thank God for the Cleveland Browns, because if we didn't have them, we'd be the laughing stock right now of the NFL. And we're going to be there soon if something's not done. And, guys, I've called you before, and I've talked to you guys about this. You talk about corporations, organizations. It's no different. It's just a sport, but it's still a business. And,
damn right it is.
How do they get away? How did the McCaskey family – I mean, I got to say this. And, this, you know, guys, I know you know Hallis. And the man formed the league for six decades. He put the Bears – this is the first team in the NFL. He franchised the Packers into existence. The man is the NFL. And then only to have your daughter marry a bumbling McCaskey and then have to turn all the assets over to that family to run that into the ground since, what was it, about 1984, 85 is when they took over? Guys, it's since then, you know, we had the remnants of Jerry Vinese and the other guy that built the team to be what they were. Hampy were on that team. But they just guys, I mean, they're just, this is a disgrace. And where do you start? So if they fire Pace, you know, they get rid of Pace, then what, which I hope to God they do. I hope that Connor Barth has a sign waiting for him on the bus saying, here we are, here I am over here, guys. You know, and so when he gets off, they can get on there and get on with Connor Barth to go find a job. John Fox is like an aged piece of fruit. He's like that banana that's way too ripe. He doesn't look good enough to make banana bread with either, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you. We're up against
Hey, Mike, yeah. Just real quick to your answer there. Caskies are not going to sell this ball club, okay? And maybe when Virginia passes, maybe it might, but they're not going to do it. But I hope, because when Fox goes, and I mentioned about taking this guy Pace, he is not a general manager. And what I hope happens is that the McCaskies or whoever else is up in that ivory tower, do not get a head hunting outfit to go find a general manager or a coach. How embarrassing is that? You mean to tell me all the years the Bears have been in there, they don't know somebody somewhere in this league that have connections and direct you to somebody who might be qualified to be a general manager or a head coach, and you go out and you hire a headhunting company? That's ridiculous. It's embarrassing.
Well, at the end of the day, that's all you really need to know.
Hey, and further indictment of Ryan Pace. Now that we have virtually nobody rushing the passer on the outside, our receivers are the worst in the league. This is what he spent almost $50 million on in free agent acquisitions in the offseason. Mike Glennon, bum. Connor Barth, bum. Wheaton, Cooper, Sims, Quentin Dimps. Almost $50 million on these guys.
Guaranteed, zero, right?
Yes, and nobody lifted a finger to make a play to help us win a game today. None of them.
Let's,
you know, that's quite a statement Dan just made there.
None are even out on the field,
you know,
are they?
You know what he said earlier about Fox just indicted himself and the coaching staff? What Dan just said there was probably one of the most important things I've ever heard in 11 games so far. And by the way, folks, that's guaranteed money to these people.
It certainly summed up the offseason. All right, let's quick time out. We'll get into the news, get to your calls, 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, here till 6 on 720 WGN.
Ajayi, big hole. Ajayi breaks through. Inside the 5, and he fumbled. It's loose. Eagles pick it up. Did they secure it? Touchdown. It's all going right.
You know, that highlight actually reminds me of the best play of the first half. You guys remember when Mitchell Trubisky was picked off and then Deion Sims ran in there, stripped the ball, the Bears recovered it. That was like the best play of the first half. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't think I am. OB, I know you got something here.
I just, my world championship ring from, excuse me, from 1963, it's gotten like a little worn down a little bit. And because I wear it all the time, I'm so proud of it. And my good friend Johnny Hartman from Martin and Martin Jewelers in Oak Lawn, John took this ring. I gave it to Dan, and Dan gave it to John Hartman, and I got it back today. I'll tell you what, it's as good, if not better, from the day I got it. And that was one of the proudest days of my life, to put that ring on to say that I played on a world championship team, the Chicago Bears of 1963. Very proud. So, Martin Jewelers, thank you. And Johnny, we love you. Thank you so very much.
Dilly Dilly!
That is awesome. It looks beautiful, OB. It's
thank you.
Shiny
thank
now,
you.
Too.
Oh, I'm sorry, old Kazer. You switched mics on me.
Shine.
Let's get to the callers.
All right, let's get to the callers. Let's get Mike in Elmhurst. We've been waiting quite a while. I want to talk about ownership. Go ahead, Mike. You're on 720 WGN.
Hey, guys, first of all, I'm totally on board with everything you guys have been saying. And here's what I don't get. I remember when the Trestman era ended and George McCaskey got in the press conference and talked about how, quote, pissed Virginia McCaskey was.
Right.
Okay, that was after two seasons. Trestman and his era, they won 13 games. Three seasons in, Fox's side has only won 12 games. Where is the pissed-offedness now?
Hey, it's great. We've been beating the drum since last year, but you're exactly right. There has to be, a signal from the top that we will not stand for this incompetence any longer.
Well, somebody's got to believe, Mike. Let me tell you this, and I'm totally against this guy, Pace. I can't believe the moves he's made and the people that he has brought in here. And I look at their scouting system, and everything is a minus. It's a negative here. And I don't think Pace should be around here next year. And I said before, if this guy, he is not a general manager in the National Football League. And you know what he is? He's a gopher at a ice cream parlor.
Really what it comes down to is the fact that they went out, they actually got a guy that they thought really knew the National Football League.
Ernie Akosi.
And he helped them secure Ryan Pace, and part of that deal, as Dan has pointed out from day one, you know, John Fox, go way back, not Ryan Pace, but John Fox and the guy, the football man, right. And so he put them together, the old coach and this young GM, and that's why I think they've given him a little more time.
Well, and don't read this as a John Fox endorsement or anywhere close to it, but the fact of the matter is that he did go to the Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers, and he did go to the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. And if you look around the room of who he's working with, Ryan Pace has never done anything. The Bears organization, outside of 85 with the McCaskies, have never done anything. He's by far the most accomplished guy around there.
Listen, when Pace left New Orleans, okay, the last 3 years, they've been 7-9. 7-9. What have our records been? We won 5 games. Last year we won 3. We've won 3 so far. And New Orleans is leading our division with what? An 8-2 record?
Right.
So another guy brought his winning ways to the Chicago Bears. You know, we talk about Fox. I mean, it's all well and good, and I understand it. This guy Pace, he's the guy that brought him. And when he pulled that debacle on that trade to give an entire draft class away to move up to get that kid, Dan, you were there, you saw it. That kid, I mean, it took everybody by surprise, to say the least.
Defensive star of the game brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hampo?
Yeah, it has to be Craven LeBlanc. He was one of the few that made a few plays trying to stop this avalanche.
Let's get back to the calls here. Jack in Arizona wants to talk about the bad quarterback.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Jack?
Hey, listen, I've been watching the Bears since Luckman was quarterbacking. I go back a long way. Anyways, you guys were talking everything, and I agree 100% with everybody. You know, we need a professional general manager, and I have two coaches I want to mention. See if you agree. John Gruden and Jim Harbaugh. What do you think about that?
All right, Jack, thank
you.
Well,
Jack, you got a guy that's on television that loves doing what he's doing. He's making millions. And Harbaugh is probably one of the highest paid coaches, forget about the NFL and college or whatever, in the history of this game. They love him. He went to Michigan. He's not moving. Believe me, Jack, he's not.
It's interesting, though. They just got
it doesn't matter. He's the man there. And I know you're going to say they lost to Ohio State.
No.
Is that what you're going to go with? That happens.
No.
But he has turned that program around.
Yeah, he
and
has.
He's not going anywhere.
He's so beloved up there. Are you kidding me? It's not going to happen.
If you told him he could come back here and have control of his players and he could coach the team and they're going to pay him $10 million or whatever it would be, you tell him he's not interested?
Why the hell would he leave Paradise? He's from Michigan. His dad coached at Western Michigan.
It is his dream job.
And that is exactly correct. That's where he wants to be. And make that kind of money? Are you kidding me? And come over here?
You'd have
take
to,
over this team?
You'd have to pay him more, but he's back in the NFL.
Mark, pros versus college, even though college coaching is getting closer to the pros where you have a short window, you know, of opportunity, college – historically, the coaches last longer. And so if you find a place where you're thrilled and it's your spot, why would you leave it?
And plus,
that's called paradise.
Plus, here's the thing, Mark. He has total and complete control of that entire program. The athletic director, compared to Harbaugh, doesn't mean a damn thing. Well, he has total control of that program.
And John Gruden lived vicariously off the defense in Tampa Bay of Monty Kiffin. And after 5 years after the Super Bowl, they ran him off. Because he had basically destroyed the program because he thought he knew everything. So if there's a guy in the Gruden family you want, it's his brother who's doing a pretty good job in Washington, Jay Gruden.
312-981-7200. All right, fine. No Jim Harbaugh coming here. Let's get Mike.
Well, just it wouldn't make sense. Yeah, because he wouldn't do it.
I get it. I get it. Mike in Chicago Heights. Welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey guys, I enjoy your show because I feel your passion. Because I don't want to break my plasma TV. Anyways, listen, we know the management are a combination of the Three Stooges, the Marx Brothers, Abbott and Costello, and Laurel and Hardy. Besides that, I agree with you guys. What I hated were two plays, well, besides the rest of them, two major plays. Third and 10, he threw a 7-yard pass, and he was tackled immediately. Can't you go past the first down marker and then throw the ball? And that's the first one. Second one is, this guy, number 87, when it was a 3rd and 2, he stood there, and that guy from Philadelphia just goes, hi, goodbye, boom, ran, tackled the running back. And thank you guys for listening to what I say. God, they suck.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, it was Adam Shaheen on a 3rd and 2 as a tight end. He's got the wide 9 defensive end. On the snap of the ball, he goes laterally in the defensive end, knowing it's going to be a dive play, cuts inside of him and makes the play for no guy. I mean, that's horrible technique, horrible coaching. That's what it is, folks. It's horrible coaching.
What he does in a situation like that, you're tight end and blocking, your first look is inside. Am I correct in that, gentlemen?
Yep, 100%.
Your first look, sir, is inside.
With a position step and then turn and hinge. He goes outside rather than inside. It's bad coaching. It's, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's poor technique. You're right.
100%. This week on Chicago's Best, it's everything you've been asking for. You've begged and pleaded, and you succeeded. Chicago's Best, most requested restaurants. Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. More calls coming up here. Adam Hoge from Philly at 4:35. John Fox is making an appearance on the show today, and maybe Mitchell Trubisky, too. 720 WGN.
No, not on this show, they're not.
Maybe. 720 WGN.
Wentz, blitz coming. Gets it off. Far side. He's got a completion and a first down. There's Jeffrey, the longtime Chicago Bear, delivers. Second down. Wentz, pump fake over the middle. Floats it. Touchdown. It's Jeffrey.
28 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the season for Carson Wentz, looking awful lot like the MVP, at least to me. Tom Brady's in there, but that dude is something. I got to say this. I know
Fox defers to him. He's the best quarterback on the planet. And we respond to him throwing 3 touchdown passes with 0 first downs in the first half.
Dan, that's another great point you made today. That's unbelievable. You want to talk about sheer dumbass? I mean,
it's okay.
It's close enough.
And then our new kicker shanks a field goal.
I almost flipped it out there. Yes.
Our new kicker shanks a field goal from 58 yards or wherever it was, and then our punter shanks it. I mean, it just you can't make this nonsense up.
Yeah, but I'll be with Cos presented by Chevy, drivechicago.com. I want to rerun one text here from the 847. Charlie from Wilmette, you deserve credit here for just kind of boiling it all down. Hamp and OB, here's the reason Bears fans should be hopeful for the future with Ryan Pace, the general manager. Free agent signings, the good, Akeem Hicks, and that is a very good one, no doubt about it. The average at best, Josh Sidden, Tom Compton, Danny Trevathan, often injured. Trevathan was a good signing, but he has been hurt. That's true. Prince Amukamara, Kendall Wright. The bad, Tracy Porter, Eddie Royal, Marcus Cooper, Pernell McPhee, Quinton Demps, Jarrell Freeman, Antrell Roll, Jarvis Jenkins, Bobby Massey, Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is fine. But okay. The ugly, Mike Glennon, Deion Sims. I mean, when you really look
you
at what.
About Kendall you Wright.
You,
where
you
did
forgot,
he put him
but the other kid, too, the wide receiver that they guaranteed about $8 million, too.
Marcus Wheaton is in the ugly. He's got that there down there, too. $6 million guaranteed. Connor Barth, Ray McDonald, which was really bizarre.
Yep.
And so. Then look at his draft picks.
Yeah, but tell you something. Pace is not in a safe space, folks. I'm telling you.
Shouldn't be.
You, what's going on here today with the Chicago Bears this year, he does not have a safe space in this damn organization. I guarantee it.
Well, you really – hold on a second. Let's have that conversation for a second. Does anybody in here think that Ryan Pace is actually in trouble with his job at the end of the year? Because I would be stunned if they did anything with the general manager. I'm not saying what they should do, OB. I'm just saying, do you really think they would do something with Pace?
I do. I think he is. My God, look what he's done. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but
you don't sign somebody to $43-plus million and a guy can't play, knowing full well, and you go out there and he's supposed to be the best quarterback and free agent, then you give up an entire draft and move up one to get Trubisky, who's on nobody's list.
And you sold and out.
And you give him $25 million? What the hell are you talking about,
you're
Mark?
You're thinking logically, OB. I'm talking about how they think and what they're going to do. I understand what you're saying. I'm 100% with you. But what they are going to do to run from pace right now, I just don't think there's an appetite to do it.
If it keeps going in this direction, yeah. I think Ed is right. I mean, he's just – and, you know, Dan pointed it out. His free agent signings this year is enough for him to be let go. I mean, that list is enough.
Glenn.
I mean, that's it. You don't have to say anymore.
His signings, if the guys are doing something and you are 9-1, 8-2, or 7-3, okay, he's not and far from it, and he hasn't done a damn thing in 3 years here.
Right.
Hamp? That's the bottom line.
Yep.
You can't hide from that.
Hamp, you think they do anything?
He's not as safe as he was, say, the beginning of September. Well, that's for sure.
Yep. All right, let's move on. Let's get Steve in Edgewater here, who wants to get rid of Pace. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello.
Did you time that siren there, Steve?
I think I did.
Oh, okay, good job.
I got some cleaning up done in between time after church. But anyway, two or three things. I think that this is my proposal to kind of make the Bears wake up, but it probably wouldn't happen. It would be with all the protests going on, not to, you know, mock anyone's protests. All the fans before the game drive to the parking lot and just lay down until the Bears will stand up when you stand up.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you. I've always wondered what type of statement that last year at the end of the season people were not going. I mean, that place was empty. And, like, if you're a fan, you paid for the ticket, and the Bears are this bad, do they...
You're going to have the Cleveland Browns at Chicago, at Soldier Field in Chicago. No, on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, Saturday, the day, you know, that... is it a Saturday? Or no, it's a Sunday. I just can't imagine that there's a whole lot of interest in anyone wanting to go to that game because of what we have seen from this coaching staff and the lack of progress. And again, after today, they're going the wrong way.
And you got the 49ers coming in next Sunday. I mean, San Francisco's terrible. And by the way, we should let you know, we will not be on next Sunday after the game because of Northwestern basketball. The Wildcats are playing at Purdue. We're going to have a special pregame show a day before. Saturday afternoon, 4 to 6, we'll all be here, and we're going to tell you exactly what the Bears should do and who hopefully will play well on Saturday, 4 to 6. But we will not
you
be
You think
with,
they're going to win that game?
I would bet on the Bears next week. I would.
Listen.
They're playing the Niners at home. I mean, after this one, I would think that they would win next week.
Dan brought up the Cleveland Browns. They had the number – well, they have the number one pick every year. But they had the number one pick in this last draft. And what they tried to do with the New England Patriots, Garoppolo, the backup quarterback, what they wanted to do was give their first round draft choice and a ton of money or whatever it would take to get Garoppolo, again, who was the backup quarterback to Tom Brady in New England. They had the first round draft. They were going to work in with New England just to get Garoppolo, who's the backup quarterback, to come and be their quarterback in Cleveland, okay? No way what were they going to do it at that particular time. So what does Cleveland Browns do? They do? They draft the defensive end number one. They didn't draft Trubisky. They didn't give away their number one choice or whatever it would be. They drafted a defensive end. They did not, I'll say it again, draft Trubisky. What they tried to do was get the backup quarterback from New England to come into Cleveland to be their quarterback and give them their number one draft choice. Does that ring in to anybody?
What you're saying is a team desperate for a quarterback did not even think highly enough of Trubisky that they
bingo.
They would rather, you know, offer their future to get a backup quarterback from New England, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, but we don't want to be the Browns. They've
yeah. But I think what
wait a minute.
But what he's saying
hold it.
The
story.
Now.
You got to understand the story. For God's sakes, to give up a number one draft choice and whatever Cleveland would do to make them so he could get Garoppolo, and they would not do it. So what do? They draft a defensive end. You telling me? I mean, Mark, it's right in front of you.
I understand, but the Browns have passed on Wentz. The Browns have passed on Watson. The Browns.
Yeah, but what Ed's saying is,
what I'm telling you is what they did. They wanted to give away the city of Cleveland to get Garoppolo, a backup quarterback.
I get it.
They didn't feel there was any top-notch quarterbacks in the draft, basically. Right. And you might add too that they didn't move up to do it either, you know, or give it all. I mean,
that's exactly right.
The Bears moved up. That's what made getting Trubisky so weird and strange.
It was completely and utterly bizarre.
Yeah.
720 WGN, Adam Hogue coming right up.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears lose to the Eagles 31-3 as they're 3-8. You probably well know that by now, but just in case you don't, that gets you somewhat caught up. Let's go out to Philly, where Adam Hogue was covering the football team today. And Adam joins us now. You can read his stuff at WGNradio.com. Adam, I was just listening to Mitchell Trubisky, who says he hates losing and that you can learn from anything. I'm assuming that the locker room was echoing a lot of the same, that they played terrible and the Eagles are great and that's why they got killed?
Yeah, but you don't want to lose that way, right? I mean, they knew coming into this game it was going to be pretty tough to come out with a victory, but to lose by 28 points and really just look the way they did, undisciplined again, just mistake after mistake. I think the word embarrassment comes to mind. I think that they kind of felt a little bit of that in the locker room today. Kyle Long talked about, you know, fighting, just playing and not be disrespected the rest of the season, because obviously the season's over, and that's all they can do because they still have five more games to play, and they just cannot have games like they did today.
Absolutely. But, you know, Kyle Long, that's all that – it's hollow talk. Because when you strip it all away, you know, you have to engage. And we respond, our wonderful offense, it's now, we're finding ourselves. We respond with six yards in rushing. Our quarterback has two fumbles, two interceptions. He was 8 of 21 targeting wide receivers. It was a complete collapse on all levels. Even the defense had no answers. But ultimately, John Fox, you know, I mean, how much longer are we going to put up with this, especially when he goes on the road to the best quarterback and best offense in football, and we defer and give him the ball and say, here, take your best shot?
Yeah, I'm with you, Hamp. And, you know, I'm writing about this today. I think that, you know, just logically, you have to ask the question. And I wonder if Ryan Pace is, I hope he's asking this question tonight as he flies back to Chicago. What is there to gain by keep John Fox as the head coach the rest of the season? I don't really have a good answer for that. I think there's much more to gain by just turning this thing over to Fangio. Not that I think Fangio is the long-term answer to take over, but why not at least give him a shot? And I think it's pretty obvious to everybody watching right now that if Fox's conservative nature as a head coach is holding back Mitch Trubisky's development. And I've talked about this before. I think this is a very delicate situation with a young rookie quarterback. And you have to – it's not a great situation for him with questionable coaching and nobody to throw the football to. And look, he had a bad game today, and he was the first one to admit that. But I see much more to gain by turning this thing over right now with five games to go, especially because – you know, the Bears look pretty bad, but you do look at the next 4 weeks, and they have four winnable games. They have games that you can at least gain confidence off of, and I just don't know that keeping Fox around is the best idea right now.
Now, I will ask you, though. I mean, I'm trying to figure out because, again, you know, I get Fox. He's the head of this whole thing, but at what point do you look at your offensive coordinator and see, is there any change possibilities there? Is there anybody else on the offensive side that might call a better game plan? Because, you know, they didn't have any first downs today in the first half, Adam. I mean, that's just unacceptable.
Embarrassing, yeah. I mean, Dave Ragone would be the option if you do make that change. Maybe that's worth trying. I don't know. I think we've all talked about it. The personnel decisions have been baffling. The play calling at times has been baffling. I think the thing that we're all still kind of struggling with, not to take the blame off Dow Loggins because he does deserve a ton of blame, but we just wonder how much John Fox's input and you know, how much he's really holding that operation all back, because he does have a lot of say over it, whether that's right or wrong. So, you know, I think that that's if Pace is going to think about making a move with the head coach, you also got to look at the offensive coordinator. To answer your question, it would be just right now it would just be letting Dave Ragone call plays if he feels like Ragone can do that.
I want to read one of your tweets back to you, at Adam Hogue. This happened about 3 hours ago. It was at halftime. I just looked back at my pre-draft scouting notes on Mitchell Trubisky, and I saw that I wrote down in multiple games that his, quote, delivery is inconsistent in the pocket, which means multiple arm slots, right, that you write, and that can be a good thing, but if the lower body mechanics aren't sound, it can lead to inaccuracies. We're seeing that. Kaz talked about that, Adam, yeah. and we've been sitting here banding it around that, you know, maybe Mitchell Trubisky isn't necessarily the guy that a lot of people are hoping that he'll be.
Well, I think the good news about that is that those things are things that are correctable with good coaching and development over time. Mechanical things are something you can fix. What you can't fix is a guy that just cannot make the right decisions. And look, it's not that he's making the right decisions all the time. There have been issues with that too. But I think what we're seeing right now is a guy that's much more comfortable throwing on the run. And when he sits there in the pocket, we're seeing a breakdown in mechanics sometimes, and we're seeing that inaccuracy come out. So I don't want to overreact to one bad game here. It hasn't been a perfect rookie season by any means. I think that there's enough problems that we just keep talking about with his offense, with the coaching and the lack of weapons and all of the above there, that you can't put this all on the quarterback. So, you know, are there little concerns here and there? Absolutely. But I think we can all agree that this guy needs to be in a much better situation in 2018, both from a coaching perspective and from a wide receiver perspective.
All true, no question, and he doesn't have a lot of help around him. But
well, that's that. But that feeds into it. Dan talked about the lack of confidence, and each week he loses more confidence, and that's all part of what Adam's talking about.
That's what I'm worried about, Kaz, right now. I think that has to be priority number one as they fly back to Chicago tonight. The quarterback has to be what they're worried about, and if they think that. Because, look, you have the 49ers next week. It's a winnable game. It's a game that you should go out there with an aggressive game plan and be able to put yards and develop your quarterback, whether or not you win the game or lose. Now, you obviously want to beat the 49ers, but I'm just saying that needs to be the priority right now when you're 3-8. So if the head coach is preventing you from doing that, then, you know, you got to look at that right now, because confidence with the rookie quarterback, I think, is everything right now.
Adam Hogue out in Philly with us here on 720 WGN. You could read the stuff at WGNradio.com. What did John Fox have to say for himself, if anything?
Well, he said, frankly, he doesn't give a rip about about questions about his job security. So take that for what it's worth. There wasn't a whole lot of answers. He doesn't have answers right now. If he had answers, they'd be on the field, and they wouldn't be losing 31-3. So, look, we're just... We went through this with Mark Trestman at the end. It's just sort of that kind of lame duck situation, I think, here as we move into the final 5 weeks of the season. So that's why it would be very unlike the Bears to make a move now. We just know that from their history, but I think it's on the table, something you got to think about.
Hey, Adam, you know what you just said there, what Fox said? Did he actually say that? He doesn't give a rip about his future?
Well, he said he doesn't give a rip about questions about his job security.
Well, guess what? He just answered the question. He's gone. He may be gone tonight, may be gone tomorrow, but if not, but he answered the question that he will not, if they stay with him all the way, he's gone. When a guy answers a question like that, all you got to do is be around a game of football, read in between the lines, and that statement, what he made there, he doesn't give a rip. He's full of bananas. He's not going to be around.
And if he isn't fired, then I'm going to do everything I can in my power to make sure the three of us have a live mic into his stupid headset next week when he's on the sideline, and we can tell him exactly what we think play after play after play.
Hey, did you guys see when they put the field, they started to rush the punt team out there on third down?
That was great.
And they had to call timeout? I mean, that's amazing.
Well, but that's all part of the whole, you know, the debacle that is John Fox.
Hey, Adam, go back to last week, okay? Just before the, against Detroit, Detroit's coming in, they got a yard and a half to go with about 4 or 5 seconds, whatever it was. At yard and a half, on a 1.5 yard line going in, and defense is called, and we have four linebackers and a defensive back don't know what the hell to do. You could see them. They were standing looking at each other, pointing, doing this, and all of a sudden, here comes Detroit. They come to the lineup. They're running a play, and these guys don't know what to do. And this is what, the 10th game of the year, and what happens? The guy, a single back, he runs out into the flat. There's a bear within 10 yards of him. You want to talk about indicting a coaching staff? My God, you mean to tell me after 10 games that you got a defense that a call is made on the goal line and you don't know what the hell you're doing? How embarrassing is that?
And OB, you know what? You're absolutely right, and that's why Vic Fangio is not without blame here. Because
exactly,
he's the one who's giving these responsibilities to Christian Jones on the field to call the plays. Christian Jones is the one who has the headset in his helmet, and that happened last week. And Christian Jones came out during the week and said, "Yeah, that he didn't have the right call, that there was a communication issue, which we all saw on the tape, obviously." But guess what? Who was out there again today with the headset in his helmet? It was Christian Jones again for the third straight game. So, you know, I would think that that's an adjustment you can make on defense, but they didn't.
Adam, great stuff. We got to get on out of here. But just real quick before you go, what's going on with the two-minute drill? How come Tariq Cohen doesn't know the plays? How come Adam Shaheen doesn't know the plays?
Because they're not teaching them to them.
Hey, Adam, if you Adam, hold it. Adam, if you come up with an answer for that one.
Yeah, tweet that.
We're going to make you commissioner of the league.
Yeah. I wish I had more answers, guys. That one, that has been boggling my mind for weeks.
They don't know the plays.
Well, the sideline reporter had the best line of the day. She said, "It looks like the Bears are shell-shocked." Well, that's the way John Fox looked when he showed up here 3 years ago, and he's going to look the same way as he leaves.
Looking forward to your piece, man, on the game, Adam. We'll read you at WGNRadio.com.
All right, see you guys. Talk to you next week.
Adam Hoge out in Philly, and sounds like he's going to be proposing the dismissal of John Fox right now.
Release the hounds.
Let's get to a ton of calls coming back here. Bears lose 31-3. Hampton will be with Kaz until 6 on 720 WGN.
I've mentioned this plenty of times. You don't come into this job, whether it's a player or as a coach, with questions about your job security. You know, frankly, I don't give a rip. You know, I mean, that's not why I do this. You know, whatever happens to the things I control, is I'll work to control, and that's to get our football team better.
See, the way I hear that, that's John Fox. Hey, man, I've had a great career. I made a ton of money. You want to put this on me with everything else that's going around here? That's
exactly
fun.
What he's saying. He's right. Saying, ha ha, I'm going to retire and play golf every day, and you smucks had to watch me for 3 years. Let's get back to the phone.
312-981-7200.
And he's right. We had to watch this nonsense for 3 years.
By the way, Mark Cressman is coaching in the CFL Grey Cup. They kick off at 5:30 tonight.
Toronto Argonauts.
There you go. Go
he's
trust.
Good there.
Go, he's the king of the CFL. Let's get Steve in Florida, who wants to get rid of Ryan Pace. Welcome to WGN. Steve, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, I remember his presser when he first got hired. This guy said that he was going to get the best available players. Look at the body of work. And you look at this year going into this draft, guys. We had a golden opportunity. Hell, we picked third overall. And when you trade away these picks, think how impactful they are. Each round, third best pick, third and fourth round gone. And then you look at these other Division III players. Now you ask me this. How come you couldn't draft the best available players on the draft board? And then if you wanted to bring these Division III guys in, do it after the draft. Undrafted players, bring them in and have them compete. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, you make great points. Thanks, and, you know, Steve, you're talking about Adam Shaheen being the second-round pick. He played at a nowhere-nothing little bitty college. But
Ashland in Ashland, Ohio.
Okay, right. Well, it's nowhere-nothing little bitty college.
Division III.
Anyway, at some point, you think, okay, well, he's got the Gronkowski build and measurables, and it hadn't come to fruition yet. Okay, Tariq Cohen, oh, he's got a special ability. He's your third or fourth rounder?
Fourth rounder.
He was a fourth rounder. And I think your point is, hey, these guys probably would have been there in the sixth, seventh, or even free agents. But here's the one thing. Here's the one thing that I think everybody ultimately has to understand. Yeah, he did reach on all of these players. And Kevin White was a reach. Leonard Floyd is a reach. And to Mark Carmen's credit, he has said this time and time again. Mitchell Trubisky was a reach to mortgage your picks up to go one spot to the 49ers because you're scared they're going to take him. Oh, well, it's almost like Ryan Pace is that guy that wants to go, I'm smarter than everybody.
There you go.
And I know what's best. And you know what? It's blowing up in his face, pick after pick after pick, move after move after move. And yes, you know, Kyle just said during the break, I've tried to defend him, but guess what? It's starting to get a little hard to defend someone that is now sticking with the head coach that has won, what, six games in practically 2 years. And when your offense goes out and comes up with zero first downs, and all those draft picks, that's on your offense. You know, the quarterback, the tight end, and your little, you know, super back, you know, who basically had two carries for minus 11 yards. All that blows up in your face. It's time, you know, when the rubber hits the road, you are called on the carpet to answer and atone for it.
Well, let's just do a little.
Even Cody Whitehair, right? Wasn't he a second rounder, a third rounder? I mean,
I think he was a second.
Well, I mean, he was second. A high draft choice also. So you're right. Those are
on
all
his
the
best
top
day,
guys.
He's a free agent talent, is what he is.
Whitehair was a second round pick. Last year was Trubisky in the first round, Adam Shaheen in the second round, which was a reach. Eddie Jackson was a very good pick in the third round. Took a chance on him with a broken leg, and that's worked out, although I haven't noticed him as much lately. I don't know where he's gone.
But he was also from Alabama, the right. Top school. You know, I mean, that's the point here, right? He's not. That's not necessarily a reach. That's an opportunity.
That's a solid pick.
It was a solid pick,
or where he got him.
And then Tariq Cohen, and then Jordan Morgan, who's an offensive line. But if you go back to when they made the deal with the San Francisco 49ers, you know, he's calling up John Lynch, and the way Lynch told it back at the time, he quote, the day before the draft, Ryan called back. Hold on a second. I'm jumping ahead of myself on the quotes here.
Either way, John Lynch had been a GM for about 20 minutes and played him like a drum.
Right, right. He's telling him the day before the draft, Ryan called back, and I could tell the urgency had heated up, and he said, there's a scenario here in the first round, and there's some teams that I understand want to get up to two. Have you had conversations? This is Pace talking to Lynch. And I said, yes, indeed, we've had multiple conversations, Lynch back to Pace. At that point, he said, we want the opportunity. Will you call me if those things heat up? And I said, yeah, Ryan, we'll call him. Next day, morning of the draft, Pace calls back again. At that point, he's ready to go. So, and he makes the deal. Now, it doesn't seem like anybody else was really calling. He was just paranoid that people were making the calls. And so what do they?
And when you're the smartest guy in the room, you don't want anybody else to have the answers other than you. So you preclude that by getting the player that you think is the one.
Right. They gave up 2 third-round picks and a fourth-round pick. So the Niners used that third-round pick, which was number 111th, to move up from number 34 to get down to draft Reuben Foster at 31. You know, you're giving away all these pieces that can use you that you can use in other ways. And the way the draft went, they could have traded down and taken both Mahomes and or Watson, who were both considered better quarterbacks than Trubisky.
Watson didn't go till the ninth round.
Well, Deshaun Watson was the 12th overall pick. OB.
I thought it was the ninth.
No. He went 12 to the Texans.
I mean, the overall
Mahoney,
pick, but I thought
Mahoney I think went 10th or 11th.
Mahomes went 10th. Mahomes went 10.
Yeah. There was a run on him about, you know, at that time. But, again, you know, we're talking about you know, all kinds of fires we got to try to put out now, because we've got a lack of, you know, personnel available because of the moves Ryan Pace has made. We've got a so-called, you know, franchise quarterback that now down the stretch, when you're thinking, okay, he's going to, you know, take the bait and show us what he's made of, he responds with four turnovers today and a complete flop. And then you still got the fact that across the board, we are, you know, and nobody knows that Willie Young's going to get hurt. Nobody knows that Leonard Floyd's going to have his own leg blown out by his teammate. But we had Pernell McPhee, who's playing on one leg because he's shot, and Sam Acho, a journeyman, nobody, rushing the passer all day against the number one offense and quarterback in football. How do you let this happen? And Isaiah Irving is some nobody rookie from San Diego State that is, you know, coming in to be the, you know, the guy that spells them. I mean, everybody in the league's got a better pass rush right now because we, you know, miscalculated and we are not prepared.
Well, you know, you just, Danny, I think what, and to our listeners out there, you just got to go back to this general manager and this coach and their offensive and defensive coordinators, who these are the people that went and brought these position coaches in here, who are absolutely our defensive backfield coach should be run out of town right now. Get out of here. Receivers coach. My God, we got receivers jumping up in the air when the ball is hitting them right in the numbers, falling down, dropping balls. We have defensive backs don't know how to tackle. I mean, this is happening in the 11th game in the year 2017. This is just awful stuff, folks. Awful.
Got to take a quick time out, get into the newsroom. Zach Asani's with Kevin White right now and telling him you will be a great player next year. Stay confident. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, 1 hour to go. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Where were you when the second half started and Mitch Trubisky found Daniel Brown for the first down of the day? The drive of the game, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. I think that's where you got to go, Hamp. That's,
well, it's the only thing we got. And you know what? Tariq Cohen actually gets a decent return, gets out to about the 44. Well, obviously the Eagles were eating turkey at the halftime because they jumped off sides four times. They were going through a tryptophan haze. And they kept giving us first downs, and, well, we respond down 31 to nothing. We kick a field goal or whatever. I mean, it's just the whole thing's ridiculous. But it was a 10-play stooge fest of a drive that we actually got our meager field goal on that drive.
The drive of the game.
That's it.
That's
that
amazing.
That was the one where Ed said, why aren't you going for it on fourth down, down 24 to nothing, right?
Exactly.
They were on the 21-yard line.
Excuse me, is anybody home? Anybody there?
Well, they didn't want to get shut out, OB. Yeah. Fourth and 8 at the 20. All right.
Philly went to the border and we shoot.
Yeah, Philly went for it, what, 6-7 times today on fourth down?
Yeah, something like that.
And they were laughing every time.
They were. And see, folks, that's the thing that makes us sick. We're going to get right to the call. They are laughing at us. And if we're Bear fans, by virtue of our association, we're being laughed at. I hate it.
They had every celebration going today. Defensive, offensive, bowling. Yeah, all of it. All right. Rich in Rogers Park is disgusted and is on WGN. What's up, Rich? Thanks for being patient.
Oh, no problem. Hey, gents. How you doing tonight? Probably miserable like we all Chicagoans are, right?
Well, remember, Rich, we're here to have fun, and it is sports, but yes, let's talk about it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm as disgusted as anybody else in the city is with the team, and I've actually stopped watching games, and I just tune into your show, and I find just the comments and the energy that you spout out entertaining enough. You mentioned before about McCaskey and how the Bears are kind of stuck with a management program that seems to be, you know, basically family oriented. And I just wonder what do you suppose the motivation for the McCaskeys keeping the team at this point is? And I do have a follow up for that, but I just want to get your feeling on that first.
Rich, I could tell you they're billionaires. That's my answer to you.
Okay,
they're billionaires.
It's their life, Rich. That's what they do. What would they do without it?
Okay, well, if they're motivated by money, and we're in our second season of just total misery, and fans just, they want to win, and they're getting pretty disgusted viscerally, wouldn't it be an Occam's razor thing as so simple as just fans stop going to games? And they McCaskies would have to do something, either change, shake things up big time, hire better players.
We got you, Rich. We got you. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Fans not going.
No, well, that means they got to eat their tickets. Those tickets are not, you know, inexpensive. They're, I think, the highest ticket prices in the NFL. And I got to tell you, I'm being, you know, I'm frugal, and I'm not going to say, oh, I'm going to eat $500 worth of tickets to make a statement. No. Hey, my kid didn't finish a hot wing. Sometimes I finish it for him. I'm just saying, it is what it is.
look, if you, here's a tip for you. Okay, well, Chicago Bears have two home games left. And OB, your season ticket holder, what are you gonna do with your tickets for those games? Are you giving away yet? I know you have a million people you want to take care of, but sometimes you get to this point, it's hard to give them away.
There is a certain, yes, that is. But on the other side, I have some really good seats. The people would take them, yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. Cheapest seat for next Sunday is $45 if you want to sit up top, which is cheap for the Bears. All right.
Get a pair for Fox. We'll put him up there.
But also remember, too, now, to answer that question even deeper, though, look, they share in television revenue. People not coming or showing up doesn't affect the bottom line unless you start talking about merchandise, right? So the Bears garb and everything else. So short term, that's a statement. But the long term, the way the NFL shares in their money with television, they're always going to do well.
The third best value on StubHub right now, where they show what are the best seats reduced to the most, 9th row, 50-yard line, in the 100 level, all the way down, is going for $134, which is what, a fourth of face?
Wow.
Yeah.
You serious?
Yeah. Okay, McCaskies, that's what John Fox has done. He's basically took the value of your product, and it now it's worth 25% of what it normally is.
And by the way, that's on StubHub, I don't need to get into all that. But anyway, okay, moving along, let's get David in Oswego, who's talking about stopping watching the Bears, which is another option. Go ahead.
Sir. Hello, gentlemen. I just want to say we have two boys under a great program out here in Oswego that they don't even want to watch the Bears anymore. And I want to say something to Hampton, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
We have a great lamp, number 95, at the bedstand, and he looks at that every night and shuts it off and puts it on in the morning. Thank you, sir.
All right, David.
Well, isn't that sweet? Isn't that nice?
You ought to tell Richard Dick. Yeah. He was 95.
Well, but you know what he meant. He was giving you props for the lamp.
That was the point. That was David. That was very nice of you to say. That was a nice thought. Thank you.
All right.
See, I thought Dan might have made that lamp for him or something.
If I had his lamp, I'd break it over his head.
I thought Hemp was in the wood shop whipping up a lamp for the guy in Oswego.
312-981-7200. John in Fox Lake wants to fire John Fox. What's up, John?
Well, without trying to get overly emotional about it, but here's a truth that everyone knows, even the McCaskies know this, is that John Fox is gone at the end of the year. There's no doubt about it. I know that the McCaskies family sees it. The best thing that they can do to send a message to the rest of the team is first thing tomorrow morning, launch John Fox and send him on his way. At least it gives you the end of the year to maybe get yourself situated for next year. Maybe it lights a fire with some of these players that are on the cusp saying, hey, if you want to be here next year, then you better start competing. But this whole nonsense, let's just keep on going and everything until the end of the year, and then we're going to fire Fox, that's going to be damaging, I think, to Mitch. My big concern with the quarterback is, do we have the right coaches in place? Because, you know, at the end of the year, when they do get new coaches for the next season, Mitch is going to have a different coach. So, you know, it's almost like a kind of like a double-edged sword here, so to speak. But the best thing that the Bears could do to send a message to the fans that we care and we hear you is to launch Fox tomorrow morning.
Thank you, John.
Hey, you have no argument here. And you know what? Vic Fangio, who has, over the long haul, I would give, you know, a passing grade. Make him the interim coach. Let him say, hey, you want to take the bull by the horns? Let's turn this thing around. Let's see what happens. Maybe make Dave Ragone the new offensive interim offensive coordinator. Do something, because you hit it right on the head, and I brought this up at the top of the hour. The kid is questioning not only his reads, but now his throws, his technique, fundamentals. He's throwing with his feet side by side rather than stepping. All those things that when you watch on film, you say, man, this kid is lost. You don't want to lose your prized possession.
Hey, John, you know, there's some telltale things here. You know, Fox's statements today, he just indicted him on self. Shows you how smart he is. But anyway, this is a passing league. If you get a chance, look at all the other games today and see what happened in the passing yards. There were two, three, or four teams that thrown in the 350, 320, whatever yardage, 250, 260, 280, to whatever have you. What are we? We're basically a running team in a passing league, okay? And if we're a running team with Jordan Howard, who's supposed to be a great running back, and we have some really supposedly big guys in the offensive line that can blow anybody out, we ran in the 11th game for 6 yards. We ran for 6 yards in a passing league. You wonder why the hell we lost the game? And you wonder why we're 3-8? Because we're stupid.
6 is only good when you're buying beer. Nothing else.
All right. Second time in the.
But hey, and you know what? If Ryan Pace and the rest of them don't shake a leg and say, "Hey, we understand the sense of urgency. We need a new direction." Hey, you're indicting yourself.
Bears with the 6 rushing yards. That's the second lowest in franchise history. They rushed for 1. Versus the LA Rams back on October 26, 1952.
I mean, even minimum, you change something up on offense. I mean, that would be the bare minimum that you should do after today's game.
Well, and here, like, last...
Right? I mean, you can't be worse than you were today offensively.
It's
impossible. I would say that.
Well, maybe they could do it. Yeah,
zero first downs. It'd be hard to beat that. Yeah.
Well, let's just rewind it back for when they know they're drafting Mitchell Trubisky. They love him. Wouldn't you want at that moment to have the guy that you want coaching him in place rather than throwing away a year? And I know that it was only 2 years in, he had him on the books for 2 more years, but you're making a dramatic change. So now you're like 1 more year behind the eight ball, and it was obvious after last year that this guy wasn't going to last.
Look what they did with Wentz. Wentz beat out Sam Bradford. They got rid of Sam Bradford and said, "Hey, here's the keys, kid." Boom. They haven't looked back.
The colossal thing that this guy Pace has done, and I don't how much Fox had to do with it, I don't know, but he's the general manager. The colossal mistake was signing Glennon to a $43.3 million contract and guaranteeing $18.5 million this year to a guy that can't play. And you mean to tell me he's our general manager and he could look at films and he saw that and he couldn't figure it out? It's just a damn fact.
The Mike Glennon thing's amazing. Didn't start for 2 years. Ryan Pace figured it out. That guy's going to come in here. He's going to
be solid.
Guess
what? Mark Carmen didn't make that decision. Pace made that damn decision. And then turn around and give away an entire draft to move up to pick a kid who nobody had him on their draft in the second round. I'm talking about Trubisky. Christ's sake, it borders criminal. How dumb can you be?
They are real. They're Chicago. Watch Dan Ponce and Lauren Jiggets and Larry Potash and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News Team weekdays 4 till 10. If you're on hold, we'll get you on the air. And we're going to hear from John Fox before this is over.
Talk about Black Friday. It's Black Sunday.
We have to.
Yeah.
I wanted to sit there to see the resistance, and it sounds like we're going to get him. All right, so we'll have Fox, we'll have Trubisky, we'll have you, 720 WGN.
He'll let it go high, and it's intercepted. It's picked off by Philadelphia Malcolm Jenkins, who fumbles it. Chicago may have gotten it back. And they do. What a bizarre turn of events. Jenkins the interception, then it got stripped, and the Bears end up with better field position after it's all said and done.
720 WGN. Bears lose to the Eagles 31-3. Let's get some more calls in here before we hear from John Fox and hear from Mitchell Trubisky. Steve in Arlington Heights, you are up, man. Thanks for being patient. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, first of all, I think you're wrong about the McCaskies, but I won't argue that. The other thing is I think the Bears have the worst offensive line in the league. And when you look at the time that the defense has to spend, I think in the first half, the offense was on the field for 5 minutes. The defense was on the field for 25 minutes. No wonder they get tired in the second half. And then also, I don't know why the offensive coordinator is on the field. The worst place to see a football game a lot of time because of the crown of the field and stuff is right on the sidelines. He should be in the skybox. And the last thing I like to say is I think a selection for a coach should be Urban Meyer from Ohio State. What do you think about him?
Ooh. All right.
Let me answer the one about Urban Meyer. I think Urban Meyer is Steve, is somewhere around that $8 million mark. And I think he's right around $8 million or so, plus bonuses, plus a jet, plus whatever else. I don't think he's going to leave Ohio State to come to the National Football League. Why would you have something that you have nurtured in this short time he's been there that is a football institution and making that kind of money to come here? I don't think so.
And beyond that also, Ed, he is a guy that at one point walked away from college football because he put so much pressure on himself. So, you know, he kind of found his sweet spot. He's
Glenn,
not. You imagine the pressure here?
Glenn, I have a
conspiracy. He has a couple of bad games. We're going to be on him.
I have a thing about that. I think he made a deal with Ohio State.
I think you're right, too.
The only way he could get out, I'm retiring. I don't like the game. I want to be with my wife, my kids, and my friends and my grandparents, and I want to go away back to wherever it is and all that. And then all of a sudden, oh, I want to be a coach again, and where could I go? Oh, Ohio State. Really?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I'm supposed to believe that?
But his sweet spot, you know, the bigger part, his sweet spot is college. He didn't even run an offense that would, you know, work in the NFL. So, he's a college coach, and he's one of the best in college.
The point is, Steve, why the hell would he leave making that kind of
money? Yeah, he wouldn't
do it. Well, and where he's the king of the hill.
Hey folks, if you seriously, these college coaches, most of them they're ensconced and with making the money and whatever it is, you're really going to have to look around. And what you want to do is find the answer to the Mitchell Trubisky equation, and that would be one of your brighter, best offensive minds. And you know, of course, Josh McDaniels is going to lead the list of all these. Surveys, but a guy that we had a little bit to do with today, a guy named John DeFilippo, is the quarterback coach. He's not the offensive coordinator, Mark Reich is, but he is the quarterback coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to get a lot of play because Sean McVay is now, doing wonders in Los Angeles with the young, superstar young quarterback. I think, 39-year-old John DeFilippo is a guy you're going to be hearing a lot about.
Well, and that's the –
makes sense, too.
Right, that does, right? And that's the player right now. You want to – exactly what you're saying, Amp. You want the Sean McVay playbook.
Maximize what you have.
Right. Come in here and do the Jared Goff in Chicago. I mean, that's what you're really hoping for. Real quick, Rusty and McHenry want to get you in before news. Go ahead, man.
Okay, so I've been watching this franchise for a long time. I am old enough to remember when Ed was young. So that's how old I am. You can tell me what player on this team would make the Super, would make the Hall of Fame compared to all the other coaches before this, even when Ed played. I mean, we got Walter Payton in there. We got Gale Sayers in there. We've got Dick Butkus in there. They didn't play on winning teams. This team is terrible. Fox should be gone. Thank you.
Is that...
Hey, wait a minute. Rusty?
Race car Rusty?
Rusty?
Rusty's
you've been
gone.
Watching me all these years. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm 39 years old.
It's an affirmative on your point, guys.
That was race car Rusty, right?
I guess. That was race car Rusty.
And he has been a fan of this show a long time. And we feel your pain, Rusty. We feel it. Yeah, you may be old, but you're good looking.
So yes, he is handsome.
I didn't think it was necessary to point out the OB's age there. I thought that was a little...
No, he was saying he was older.
He said he was old enough to remember when Ed played and all that type of stuff.
Life's not fair, okay?
About. I'm 39. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Rusty. All right, into the newsroom, and your call's coming up afterwards, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Bears go down 31-3. Reminder, next week they've got the 49ers at home, noon kickoff. There will not be a postgame show on 720 WGN. We will be on the stream, WGNradio.com, for an hour after the game. There's Northwestern basketball that day. So we're going to do a pregame show on Saturday, 4-6, special programming next Saturday, 4-6. It'll be everybody, all of us will be there. And we'll preview the Bears and the Niners and talk about the season, all of it, coming up next Saturday, 4-6. And the postgame show will be on the internet for an hour next Sunday. You're going to be on the phone, Kazi. Don't worry, I'm going to call you up.
Okay.
I'm going to call you too, Ham.
And know too that we're streaming Sunday.
Call me early, but don't call me Fox.
Yeah. That's the plan. That's what I've been told. You guys are going to be on the phone. All right. Hey, Steve and Carol Stream, thanks for being patient. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. For the three guys sitting there, it was my pleasure around 30 years ago to have met and spoken at length with the purchasing agent from the Bears. You guys remember Max?
Oh, yeah.
No, Max was on in the locker room and on the sidelines with us.
Yeah. Yeah, and he always spoke highly of the Bears and the Halas family. Didn't care much for Mike McCaskey. But I think that the McCaskeys should really dump Mr. Fox tomorrow and then get you three guys as unpaid consultants.
All right.
I'll tell you this, speaking for Mr. Obradovich, there ain't going to be no unpaid anything.
Yeah. No,
we were just talking about the salaries that these college coaches make. We're talking about the salaries assistant coaches make. Yes. And then you call and say we're going to be unpaid.
That's
unnecessary.
Throw us a little bone.
At least a gift card, right?
I mean, here's, you know,
dinner.
The McCaskeys are the thing about it, and Dan will be the first to say that they want to win. They do want to win. I mean, anybody that questions that. But they just haven't been able to identify the right people to help them win. And that's been the problem.
Yep. They don't know how. And if for the right price, we can show them.
Yes, but it is a price.
But it's not going to be a gift card.
312-98.
And you got thrown under the bus. You weren't even here.
What happened?
Well, no, Dan pointed out the obvious, that the guy wanted us to do it for free. And Dan said, Ed isn't doing anything for free.
Oh, you got that one right. Yeah.
Let's get
the ledge don't show without the dough.
Very well said, sir.
Tony in Glenview, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Tony.
I just would like to say everybody wants to fire Fox. Well, this starts way above Fox. 10 years ago, the Blackhawks were the Cleveland Browns of the National Hockey League. They went out and hired John McDonough, who put that entire organization together. And the Hawks are the top premier franchises in the NHL. Look what the Cubs have done. The Cubs got rid of all the bumblers that they've had there for years. They brought in Theo Epstein at the top. He's created his own organization. And look what the Cubs have done. It starts at the top. You can fire Fox. You're just going to get somebody else in here where in 2 or 3 years you're going to want to get rid of them. I pretty much guarantee it. It starts at the top.
Tony, you're right, and you missed one step there. Bill Wirtz passed away. Rocky got the team.
But here's the thing, though. John McDonough was not a hockey guy, but he's a really smart sports guy. And so he, being a smart sports guy, said, hey, I'm going to get the best hockey coaches and knowledgeable guys in the NHL, and that's what he did.
You know what, Glenn? I was doing the on WTTW. They had a show, and I think it started somewhere around like 5 or 6 o'clock, and they would always have this sports things every week, you know, about the Bears or whatever have you. So I went on, so I'm in basically what they call the green room, and I'm sitting there, and who walks in is John McDonough, and he comes over and he introduces himself to me. And, you know, fine, John, how you doing? Congratulations with the Blackhawks and everything. First thing he started to ask me, and it's the God's truth because I've seen him afterwards. First, he wanted to know, in 1963, what the hell did we do? How did you do it? Who was there? A coach? Was there somebody? Was there? How did it happen? Honest to God, that's what he asked me in the green room, and he's ready to go on TV and talk about the Blackhawks because he just got the job. And I told him, well, it all came down to George Allen, who was in the Hall of Fame as a coach. I said he was our defensive coordinator. I said he came up, which I won't go through a litany of things. I said, and what we did, the rest of the league didn't know what the hell we were doing. I mean, we came up with so many different ways defensively to take out wide receivers, tight ends, et cetera. And he wanted to know, how did that happen? What did you guys do? What about your meetings? He asked a litany of things, honest to God, right then and there in the green room. So what I'm just backing up is what you said. He's a very smart man.
Yeah. But just, you know, for everyone saying, well, it starts at the top, meaning the McKeskies. Well, the McKeskies, they're not going anywhere. In fact, it reminds me of a story about the Kloppman diamond. This guy gets on an airplane, and this lady's got this beautiful diamond, and he's just knocked out. He goes, ma'am, I'm sorry. What? That's the most beautiful diamond I've ever seen. She goes, oh, it is fabulous. It's the greatest diamond in the world. It's the Kloppman diamond, but it has a curse with it. And he goes, oh, really? What's the curse? She said, Mr. Kloppman. So that's where we're at with the McKeskies. We love the Bears, but McKeskies—they're going to own it until.
But
you know,
John is just the president and oversees all the operations. And you know, again, he would never call himself a hockey guy, but he knows how to hire the best people.
Well, that's right. You said,
and that's what you're saying, right?
You said, and I
okay, hire the best people. What's the best thing we've seen about Fox? Nothing.
Right. No, right. And the GM,
and why would you tolerate it? See, there's a difference.
Well, that's why, because you have a guy, Pace, who they brought in, who hired him, who doesn't know his front side from his backside, and there's not one person in the city that's going to convince me that Pace is the right general manager. He's the wrong general manager. Look, five games we win. Three games we win last year. We won so far 3 games and lost 8. And this guy's supposed to be some genius? Jesus, Lord Almighty.
No, right, you're right. And, you know, really, what John was the president. So he was the head guy, and then he brought in a GM, and then the coach, quality coach.
He wasn't afraid to ask a question. Like someone might, oh, I was going to ask him, you know, I'm a smarter guy. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Or I don't want to show that I don't know or that I'm trying to learn or whatever. He's just a smart man. And I'm sure I was just one guy. I'm sure he talked to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's done a great job.
Exactly. And there's
Mr. Kloppman.
There's it's a great.
Well, with Kloppman, I'd rather have the wife's diamond.
Kloppman.
We got to find our Kloppman.
There's a great lesson.
Kloppman, you get the clock out of town.
I'll take a terrible curse. It's Mr. Kloppman.
Where the hell did you come up with that one?
I don't know.
There's a great lesson, though, that you're saying here. Kloppman didn't pick up on it, but the intelligent people in the world, they ask questions. They're not afraid of what they know what they don't know.
That's the truth.
And
it really is.
And they seek more knowledge, and then they put it to work. Which is, by the way, John McDonough, I don't think this is going to happen. I'm sure he's super happy where he's at right now. But he's an interesting name for the Bears.
He would be.
Right?
As a president, though. He'd have to have the president role, though.
Glenn and Mark, as silly as this sounds, okay, he'd be a guy, because Pace can't do the job. Okay, that's it. Flat out, he can't do it. I would take a long look at him. Believe me, I would.
Well, because you the Bears should learn from just this one little 5-second thing. Ask questions. Who do you – if the fact they need to hire Ernie Akosi to figure out what they're wanting, just – you should be
they
asking questions.
They hired a headhunting outfit, Mark,
right,
to find out about football.
They have two guys right here they could have talked to.
Right.
I mean, honestly.
But if you don't know who to listen to and all that, but you ask questions, get a consensus, build a little confidence in yourself. Tom in Florida. I'll stop that one. Tom in Florida, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Yes. I love listening to you guys, but what do you think will really happen tomorrow?
Nothing.
You've got
nothing.
A lot of great ideas, but...
Hold on. I'm going to disagree with these gentlemen. I think there is a strong possibility that Fox might be relieved of his duties. I really and truly believe that. I really do. They have to do something here.
I hope so.
Because I'm going to tell you what. You're talking about, when I saw today, what I saw with the players, which Dan Hampton brought up earlier in the program, that he saw some guys, you know, just taking a couple of steps and then just quitting. And if that, in fact, if Dan's right and that's what he saw and that's what's happening, guess what? That means you've lost the team. Not starting, you've lost the team, and they got five games to go, and we are the Chicago Bears, and we got five games to go. And you can't – it's obvious what's going on here, okay? Nobody knows what the hell they're doing. You got to make a move. You got to do something.
Let's hear just a brief couple of moments how much we can stand of John Fox. Here he is, still your head football coach, John Fox.
You guys should have the injuries. Both Josh Sitton left the game, did not return with concussion, as well as safety Adrian Amos, hamstring, was questionable for return but did not return. Open it up for questions.
You seem to have them kind of move into control there in the first half, but then, of course, he gets those defense downs in the late first and the second at that point.
You know, I think, you know, they're pretty potent offense. You know, they can run the ball effectively. They're tops of the league in that area as well as passing the ball. You know, that's a good football team that's had similar scores to what we experienced today. And much like I'm sure at the conclusion of some of those games, we didn't play well enough in any phase really for us to compete. You know, and the game was not competitive, you know, from early on. Well, I think, you know, again, you got to give them credit, too. That was a good defense. They forced a lot of turnovers, you know, in their first 10 games. You know, we saw plenty of evidence of that in our preparation. You know, I don't think you can look at one guy, including Mitch. You know, I think there's a lot of elements to that and the success of a quarterback. Establishing a run game is one, protecting them, guys catching the ball. I mean, it's just a lot of things go into the quarterback success, and, you know, we just were not good enough today.
All right, that's good enough. That's great. Just the start of it. Hey, don't forget, did you see the Cowboys got killed by the Eagles, too? They lost 37-9.
Yeah, similar scores, yeah. Oh, so we're just one of the other roadkill teams that just get spanked. And we're supposed to accept it because, hey, you know, he's got the answer.
Eagles beat the Cardinals 34-7. That's a 27-point difference. Ours is 31-3. That's 28. We're one away from the Cardinals.
That's why he's a bumbling fool right there. Sums it up.
What were you saying, Obi, right there? You had a reaction to what he said at the end there as far as – oh, okay. Never mind. I apologize.
Well, that's okay. No.
Let's – here, we'll take one final timeout. You're on hold. We'll get you in before we get out of here at 6 o'clock.
Stay on the phone.
Stay on those phones. 720 WGN.
I've answered this plenty of times. You don't come into this – job, whether it's a player, as a coach, with questions about your job security. You know, frankly, I don't give a rip. You know, I mean, that's not why I do this. You know, whatever happens to the things I control, is I'll work to control, and that's to get our football team better.
John Fox.
Well, that's true, except for in week 11, you're worse, not better. That's one of the tough parts of, you know, what he's saying there. Again, doesn't make sense.
I always heard the best job security is what? Do a good job.
And
he's parsing words there.
Right.
Just, it's ridiculous.
He indicts himself. Yeah. He said, we wanted to get our running game going. You fool, it's a passing league.
Mr. I got you, Obi. Hang on here. Let's give some love to our friends at Mr. Submarine. You love their sandwiches, don't you?
Yes, I do.
There you go. Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine, MrSubmarine.com. Dive into deliciousness. All right.
Obi had a second inning with Mr. Turkey today. He took him down. Turkey club sandwich was out of this world.
That's amazing. That's
another victory for
it's
you,
a consistency.
Right,
do you have an apple pie today?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Okay.
We're having a very special dinner tonight with a very, 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 very special person.
Brexit?
Pardon?
Brexit wine going to be?
At the bare minimum.
I'm going to tell you right now, though, if they fire Fox tomorrow, me and Mark and Dan, we're buying you a case of Brexit, right? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Brexit?
Well,
because that is the
right
greatest call in the world.
I'd
I hope you're
have,
right.
I'd buy a case of Paradox.
Okay,
Paradox?
We'll make sure.
Paradox.
If it happens, you're on.
Okay.
Paradox. P-A-R-A-D-U-X?
Huh?
I got to figure
out. Don't ask him to spell it. Come on.
Oh, it's with two X's. I got it right here. 89 bucks a bottle, OB.
Quit sucking up. Before I clap her over the head with a bottle.
90 bucks a bottle. This is expensive for OB here. All right, let's get Bob in here. Bob in the car. You got some Paradox hanging out?
No, I do not. But, hey, man, love your guys' show.
Thank you.
You guys are, yeah, really do. You know, as far as John Fox being dismissed tomorrow, potentially, you guys are talking about, what I don't want to see is just getting rid of a coach, and we don't have a concrete plan in place about replacing him, which has happened in the past. I mean, we went and we reached for Mark Trestman, and, you know, and I just don't think we're going to be able to find an A-list type of a coach. I just think that guys like Urban Meyer, people like that, are not really going to be willing to coach this franchise, and that's my main comment, and I just don't know if it's all about the coaching. There is an obvious lack of talent on this team. I mean, they got their butts whooped on the offensive line today. They couldn't run the ball, and we don't have any talent at wide receiver, so I just don't want them to go and fire a coach just to fire a coach. I want them to go and fire a coach and have a good person in place take over.
Hey, got you, Bob.
Bob, what normally happens in a situation like this, let's say, and what I believe that very well could happen tomorrow, is Fox be let go. Normally what happens, either the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator is the interim coach, not a position coach. It'd be very rare for that to happen. So you either get, you know, either one, the offensive or defensive coordinator will be the coach. But what I'm really worried about, a lot of these players are out there playing their hearts out. And, boy, we have got the wrong situation, because when you heard John Fox say they wanted to get their running game going today, this guy is in the wrong business. Believe me.
Next week, it's the San Francisco 49ers again. We won't be on after the game. We'll be on the stream at WGNRadio.com from 3 until 4, and we'll be on Saturday, a little Bears pregame, 4 to 6, Saturday afternoon. Hamp and OB with Kaz, and I will be there as well, and then we'll do the beat from 6 until 7 on 720 WGN. Guys, happy Thanksgiving. Great to be with you. We'll see you next week, next Saturday, huh? Little line shift, a little
next
change.
Saturday, 4 to 6, we'll shatter it.
All right. There it is. Final timeout. Brian Noonan coming up next, 720 WGN.